Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Uncover a world of sensuality and pleasure with New Zealand's pioneering sex toy purveyors. Whether you seek excitement that leaves you wet, loud, or speechless, we have something for your every desire. Explore the world's best brands at your fingertips. Peachesandcream.co.nz. R18. Welcome to Finger Food, empowered by Peaches and Cream. I'm your maitre d', Stacey O, intimacy and relationship coach and culinary artist, and I'm bringing sex to the dinner table. On the menu is a selection of heart-to-hearts with people who vulnerably share their stories, insights, and perspectives. This podcast is about sex and so much more. We explore connection, letting go of judgment, and accepting ourselves exactly as we are. Let's dine. In this episode, I chat to Jordan Rondell, aka The Caker. Jordan started her made-to-order cake business 13 years ago when she started selling stunning homemade-style cakes in New Zealand that were exactly what her customers were craving. She has now expanded her bakery business to LA and makes the most delicious luxury cake mixes imaginable. You seriously wouldn't believe it until you've tried them. She transcends not only the culinary space, but also the world of entrepreneurship, fashion, and beauty. Jordan has 5 recipe books under her belt and is one of the judges on the Great Kiwi Bake Off. In this intimate conversation, Jordan and I sit down over a mezze platter and discuss Jordan's life experience with sex, love, and relating, which, as Jordan shares, is the first time she's ever done this and is a total edge for her. We discuss the difference between being a sex symbol and being a sexual person, and how being a full-powered, driven, and ambitious businesswoman has affected her sex, love, and relating life. We discuss how stress can be a major cop block, Jordan's green flags, red flags, and so much more. It's great to have you here at the table. Let's get started.
Welcome. I'm so excited to have you here. This is such an honor. And yeah, I just feel really excited because we've known each other for quite a while and we grew up together in AK City, similar age groups. It's a small city. So basically, I'm excited to have you on the show.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here with you, and it's so nice to reunite.
Yay. And so there was a special delivery that was delivered to you mere hours ago. Yes. What is that?
It's a beautiful mezze platter, because I figured finger food, this is the ideal finger food. And our friend Charlie just dropped it off, and it's the...
Oh my God, amazing. Yeah, so I asked Jordan what is her favorite food, and she came back and said mezze platter, and I was like, okay, she's in LA. How am I going to get this to her, and how is it going to be like exquisite presentation, and how do I know it's going to get there in good hands? And so I reached out to Charlie, who came on the podcast last season, who also Jordan's done some work with. And so, yeah, big thank you to Charlie and Max for making your magic mezze platter today.
Yeah, thanks, Charlie.
I'm really lame right now, but I've been interviewing people all week and eating so much food. So I've just made myself carrot sticks today.
Oh my God, you little nerd.
So, but, you know, yep. Perfect. So as I was saying, Jordan and I knew each other in Auckland. Then you came over to London at a certain point while I was running my meringue business, Meringue Girls, and came and worked with us for like a couple of weeks.
A couple of weeks? Yeah, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah. And yeah, I've just been following your journey. You've been doing the Caker for how many years now?
13
years.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah.
So much dedication and just amazingness. And I'm so obsessed with your cakes. Whenever there's any function, soiree, your cakes are there and they're the fucking best. They're just all delicious and you've killed it. So I'm a fangirl.
Thanks, babe. Thank you.
So now you're living in LA and you've got your bakery over there now?
Yeah, it's a different operation than we have in Auckland, which is very much bakery focused. And then the cake kits, which are the shelf products, are they're not secondary, but they're certainly like, we got people so hooked on the cakes that the cake kits became the thing that meant more people around the world could have them. But the cakes still remain that like exclusive, I got to get my hands on one type thing. But here it's been the other way around because when we moved here, COVID dictated basically that the bakery wasn't going to happen first and that cake kits needed to be the thing. So we've done it in the opposite order, but we are very close to having a bakery here, which is exciting.
So exciting. What's the biggest part of your business? Is it the New Zealand cake business? Is it the US cake kit business? What seems to be the biggest?
Like in terms of revenue?
Part of that. Or like, and time and...
Yeah, it's probably over time still would be the New Zealand cakes, the fresh cake side of things. But there's always been this greater goal of the cake kits being the thing that really gives us like an international platform. You know, we want to break into Europe with them and Asia, and you can't do that with the bakery, obviously. Well, you could if you wanted to franchise it, but I don't really want to do that. So, yeah.
Amazing. So amazing. So inspiring. And yeah, the cake kits are fucking genius. And they're also so delicious. Like, you just wouldn't think that you would get that kind of quality from a cake kit, but then you make it and you're like, this is so good.
That's the idea.
Yeah. So much pleasure is derived from your cakes. So thank you for gracing the world with the pleasure that is your cakes.
My honor.
So anyway, we're not here to talk about cakes today, sweeties. We're here to talk about sex, love, relating. And I firstly feel very grateful and honored to have you on here because I know you've mentioned to me that you're very private about your sex and relationship existence. And so I'm just really grateful to have you on here and for your openness and your sharing today.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me. It's been good opening up a little side of myself that I really don't talk about. So why not? I thought, why not?
Why not? Amazing. So as far as I'm concerned, you are quite the sex symbol in terms of how you are as a brand, how you portray yourself, your sexy, hot, fun shoots that you do. There's leather, there's skin, there's so much juicy goodness in all of them. So I guess my question is, it looks so hot and sexy and liberating from the outside looking in. Do you consider yourself a sexual person?
This is such an interesting question, and I'm so glad that you asked me it because I really don't consider myself a sexual person. Mm. And so it's quite fascinating that you and, to be honest, 4 or 5 other people in very recent times have told either me or my sister in conversation about my Instagram that I come across as very sexy and very sexualized. And every time I've heard that or Nuke has come to me with that, I've been like, what? What are you talking about? No, it's not. And I genuinely am surprised that people think that. So I've been back through my feed a couple times and been like, okay, I can kind of see what you're saying. It's not overtly, you know, that not every pic is a bikini pic or anything, but I can understand a bit more about what that means. And I think maybe because I don't feel like I'm an overtly sexual person on the internet, because I'm not an overtly sexual person in real life, it doesn't come across it to me, but to others, it totally might. And I think there's probably 2 reasons why that might. And the first one is that I am super confident in my body and I am so in love with being a woman. I also love fashion and I love beauty and I love self-expression. And I have learned that about myself over the course of people like telling me that it seems really sexualized. So the thing is, I'm certainly not trying to do anything. Whatever I put out there is only what I'm super comfortable with and what represents me in an authentic way. But I've always been someone to be a bit like, fuck the rules anyway. So in my everyday life, you couldn't pay me to wear a regular swimsuit. Like I would always wear the thong, extremely skimpy. That's just what I wear. And so it does make sense that it would come across that way on Instagram. I just didn't really recognize it for myself.
Wow. Yeah. It's so interesting, isn't it? Because it's interesting the correlation we have between being a sexual person and how someone expresses themselves in the world with the way they dress and the way that they are within themselves. And I had a similar conversation with Ash in the first season about this. She actually didn't consider herself very sexual, but she was a stripper and she loved dancing erotically and loved expressing her body and loved putting herself out there. But actually, when it came to the act of sex, I totally get that. And I feel like there's, as you're saying, the sense of like, you don't feel like you're necessarily a sexual person, but you love the sense of expressing yourself, and beauty is really important to you and fashion's really important for you, and being confident in your body and just how you feel and expressing that's really important to you. And I think it's a really interesting conversation.
Yeah, totally. And I think adding to that is my whole world, like my whole feed, the youth that I look up to, the youth that I follow, it just seems to be that this is the norm to be sexual, and things have changed. And I really like that. And the fashion brands I follow, and I can just recognize that it's everything is overall a bit more sexual than maybe even 5 years ago. And so I've naturally progressed along with it. And yeah, I'm not sure if or why my feed is different to maybe others, but maybe it is a fashion thing. Maybe because I follow so many fashion brands, that's just what my sphere is now represented by, is like sexy fucking women, you know?
Yes. I love that so much. Okay. So you're a very successful, high-powered businesswoman. You've got a lot of shit going on. You've got your business in New Zealand. You've got your business in LA. You've got multiple avenues and revenue streams and all the things. How do you feel like that has affected your sex life, your relating life?
I would say it's affected it a lot. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say in a good or a bad way, but it certainly affects who I choose to be with. Mm-hmm. And it affects my relationship to them. And I think I've only ever gravitated towards people who respect my success and my drive, and who can understand it and deal with it, who can also then challenge me and push me on it, because I really need that too, like on an everyday basis. But also someone that I can look up to because of their own success and their own drive. Like, that's really, really important to me. That equal playing field thing is a must for me. For someone who does have their own business and it's their whole life, the other person needs to be very understanding of that, because otherwise there probably won't be a relationship, I think. Yeah.
Totally.
I care about it so much, you know, and the relationship sometimes taking a back step or a back foot, but as long as the person is okay with that, everything's going to be fine.
Yes, totally. So would you say that in the past you've prioritized work over relationship?
That would absolutely be true. Yep, 100%. And that doesn't mean I'm, like, I still have had good relations and I'm in a really good relationship, but it does need to be someone who can, and currently it is, someone who can understand that and respect it. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. So you mentioned that you're in a relationship now. Would you say you've spent most of your life being in relationship? Have you had periods of being single? What's your history?
I'm a very relationship-y lady. I've spent most of my adult life in relationships, and I don't know why that is. Like, I don't know. I think it probably is something to do with the way that I was brought up, because my sister's kind of the same. We're just continually in relationships, and in the short periods that I have been single and tried to date, I didn't really enjoy it. And I guess if I think about it deeply, and I don't really think about it this way, but maybe breaking it down, I don't really know why I'd spend time with someone who I didn't think was worthy of being in a relationship with. Even if it was super fun, that would only last for a little bit, because what's the point, really? If you don't enjoy hanging out with them enough, then if you don't picture that a relationship could happen, then I don't think I would enjoy hanging out with them enough. It's funny.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, makes total sense, especially if that's your drive for the connection with that person. Or especially if relationships are what you're wanting to be in, rather than being single for a while and just having a bit of fun. So it's got different flavors to them.
And if I really like someone, I'll want to keep seeing them.
Yes. So would you say you're quite a monogamous creature?
I am a monogamous creature, absolutely. Yeah, I love monogamy. I love love.
Amazing. And so have there been periods where you have been single and you've dated, or has it always been one relationship to the next?
There's been stints, but they've been short. And I've used those stints, honestly, for a beautiful time for myself, and haven't really felt a need to spend much time dating, honestly.
My next question was going to be, have you dated in New Zealand versus dating in LA? And have you had any experience in that?
Well, my previous relationship was 11 years long.
Wow.
So I was just a teenager at the time. So yeah. No, I don't have really any recollection of dating in New Zealand. And then I did momentarily in LA. But as I said, like, I really dedicated that little bit of time as much as I could to myself and to my friends and just to have fun and be free. Yeah.
Wow. So 11 years in your previous relationship and now with your current partner. How long have you guys been together?
2 years.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's great.
Another question I have around being a woman in business and that being, I'm just reflecting on my own marriage and how the sex became difficult because of my stress levels and my level of drive and ambition. And I feel like that dominated quite a lot for me. And so we were basically not having sex for like 2 years too long. And we were together for 6 years. And I'm curious, for all business women, this is why I asked this question, right?
Yeah.
The drive and the sense of quote unquote masculinity, because to actually get the shit done and do the things can be, I don't even want to categorize it, but it is quite a masculine trait. And I have it within myself. So I'm just curious, has that affected your sex life at all?
Yeah, for sure. It sounds like you totally get it and you've had a similar experience. Because without criticizing anything about the relationship, I'll fully take blame, or maybe not blame isn't the right word, but like I'll certainly like try and look into myself about why that could be. And it truly is because my mind is elsewhere. And yes, stress absolutely does affect your self-esteem and the amount of fun you want to have. And I don't think I've ever really judged a relationship for that. I've maybe judged myself a bit, but like I've also just been okay with it, you know? Yeah.
Beautiful.
As long as the other person is okay and it's not ruining it because of it, but yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing, is whatever you value in your relationship and whatever is important to you at that time. And I also reckon it can be really seasonal as well. You go through patches of being really stressed and really busy, and then you have these easeful times when you're on holiday and everything's a bit more relaxed and you can have more fun and more excitement in those stages. And yeah, I think it's important for me to remind myself that I'm not going to always be a 24/7 sexually liberated person. I go through sexless patches, like... Last year was a sexless patch for me because I was studying sex, and actually through studying sex and being a babe on a budget, like basically back at uni in my early 30s and not being able to work so much, that was a level of stress that I was like, I don't want to fuck anybody. I don't even want to touch myself. Like, I'm not into this right now. And now it's come back.
It's so ironic. I love it.
It's so ironic, isn't it? I felt very validated when I, do you know Emily Nagowski? She wrote Come As You Are.
Yeah.
So she did a podcast and she talked to the fact that when she wrote Come As You Are, she did not want to have sex with her partner at all throughout that whole stage, like a year and a half of writing the book. She was like, I just wasn't interested in sex. I'm like, I couldn't get it more.
Yeah. No, I love that so much. It's like wonderfully ironic.
So what would you say has been your biggest challenge in the realms of sex and love and relating?
Well, I think today chatting with you, you know, this was kind of a big deal for me to even do this, because as we said, I am very private, and especially with this side of myself. So I made the decision in the hour leading up to this to not really criticize or even say anything negative about any of my relationships, past or present. And so I don't want to do that. I would much rather talk about what the personal challenge to overcome was. And
yeah.
Beautiful. And it is around what we've just said, just career and success meaning more to me, and the relationship just being on the back burner and having to find within yourself, but not force, trying to reignite something that feels forced. And that's really hard to do. And you can't always change Like with you while you were studying, did it just eventually change and you just eventually found that within yourself again?
Yeah, when I was studying, I think I was in a bit of fight or flight, I would say, financially, and going from being in business to then changing careers and being like, what am I doing with my life? And yeah, just finances being tight, studying again and having very little income, but having a clear vision of my purpose in a sense. Like I know what I need to do and I know what I want, but this is just an uncomfortable phase that I'm in. And so it was just honestly a bit of a cock block being in that. Like I just didn't, like I wasn't horny. And I put it down to the fact that when you're in fight or flight or you're in survival mode, the last thing you want to do when there's a tiger coming to attack you in history, like that's what would have triggered that response within us. You're not going to want to be fucking in those moments. And so my body's like, computer says no. Right now we're surviving and we're just getting through. We're just getting by. And
the saber-toothed tiger can back off.
Exactly. And I think within the last 3 or 4 months, it's slowly coming back online. I've finished my studies. I'm working more. Things are starting to take more shape in the way that I want them to look. Projects are coming in. I can see things bubbling and creating and feels quite like a spring vibe where things are like coming alive again. But I also know that I've gone through these phases before in my life. I had them in my marriage. I had them in my previous business. So I can see the cycle of it. And so instead of getting really down in the dumps and upset when I'm not feeling super juiced and liberated, actually looking at that and being like, wow, this is actually a time for my body where I need to just slow down, stop, nurture, just accept rather than beat myself up about it.
That's really empowering because I think it would be quite easy to, and I've noticed this with myself, when for whatever reason, a bunch of things haven't gone right in the last couple of months with work or like just general, because there is so much pressure at all times, like your self-esteem, it would be weird if it didn't get a little bit knocked off kilter. And so how sexy you feel is so important to how much sex drive you have and how much intimacy you want to have. And it's so interesting when you feel super hot, how much they can change.
Amen. As you say, when things are a bit stressful with your business or things aren't going 100% and it knocks your self-esteem a bit, I really can relate to that. And yeah, when you're in that phase, it's not a super sexual time. You're kind of like, making your way through, sifting through the shit.
Totally. Yeah. It's so interesting. Yeah.
It is. It really is.
Yeah.
I guess my next question for you is around confidence. How do you remain in that state? And do you remain in that state? And if not, do you have any tools or tips to help yourself push any thoughts to the side to be like, no, I'm going to own this?
Totally. And yeah, you're right. I do think I'm a confident person and I am really confident in my body. And so that self-expression just comes naturally. I don't force that, I don't think about it even, but certainly in times of when that might have waned a little bit, it doesn't take much to get that back. And I would say some of the simplest things are literally putting yourself out there, just doing it anyway, unless you really don't want to. But if you do want to, but there's a bit of fear holding you back or something, I would say just go for it, whatever feels right. But there's a lot to gain from doing that at times. And whenever I've done it, especially, you know, something that was involved in a big celebrity drama at the end of last year, and it really knocked me. That was the Chrissy Teigen thing. And this isn't really about a sexual or like even love or relationship thing, but it's about a relationship with myself, and it does affect your overall vibe. Was to speak out about it and kind of like just welcome in the people lifting you up, and then you get lifted up and then you're happy to do you again. So I would say, yeah, my advice would be just put yourself out there. What have you got to lose? Just risk it.
Amazing. I love that. I watched that from the outside and I thought, fuck, that's so gnarly what happened in that. And to hear that you got through that through sharing that with the world and feeling the support of your community and actually just putting yourself out there and being like, you know what? Fuck it.
Totally. Yeah. I think we should all adopt, and I'm giving myself advice, we should all adopt a bit more of like a fuck it attitude. And we should really only do things that come with like a fuck yes. That's one thing I'm really trying to practice this year, instead of just doing things that, oh, this could be good or this might work out. It's like, no, you do it if it's fuck yes, because the results then are going to be fuck yes.
Yes. Ugh. I love that so much. I actually had a friend message me this week and I sent her a few of the snippets from a couple of the podcasts that I had done this week. And she was like, oh my God, Hon, go you, you know? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, how are you so confident with what you're doing here? And I thought, oh, that's a really good question. Like, how am I so confident with what I'm doing here? And then I thought, I think I'm confident in what I'm doing here because I've studied for however long, like I've been doing the mahi for a while. And B, I feel confident from community and connection, like the collaborations that I do. I feel confident by the people that I'm talking to. I feel confident by people wanting to be part of it and believing in it. And yeah, I think those are tangible things that can actually be
totally
implemented.
And going back to your previous question about like, how could we get ourselves out of this state of not feeling great about ourselves, which is affecting our sex lives, is exactly like recognizing those things that do lift us up and do empower us. And yeah, it's a good discussion, I think.
Yeah. And also talking about it, as you say, like you shared that thing about Chrissy Teigen online and that brought in your community and all this level of support. It's like talking about what's going on in your sex and relationship lives. Like it actually is really empowering to feel that connection with other people that have gone through similar things, or to have that sense of, oh, I'm not alone in this.
Solidarity is so, so necessary. Yeah.
It's so necessary.
You're having a carrot. I'll have a cucumber.
I love it. What's in your bowl, actually? Yeah. Can you talk me through what's in your bowl?
There's some beautiful beetroot with like dill. I love dill. There's looks like baba ganoush. It's like a cucumber, tomato, really finely chopped thing. It's a delicious hummus with nigella seeds, pita bread, grapes, crackers, and olives. Yeah. It's beautiful. Oh, and stuffed zucchini flowers as well.
She's a wizard.
Yum. So good.
Oh, that is such a vibe. She's an artist.
My mum always told me, I hate the sound of you eating on the phone, but I actually really like it.
It's quite ASMR-y right now, like.
Totally. Sorry, I interrupted you. What were you about to say?
Correct. No, I don't know what I was about to say, but what I will ask now is I'm interested to know what your red flags and what your green flags are. Meaning within yourself. So for example, I think oftentimes we're projecting what our red flags are in people, like, oh, that's a red flag for me, or like, I wouldn't go there because that's a red flag. Whereas like, what are your red flags internally? For example, mine are, I can be selfish and I can be a bit of a bitch at times, or I could be dismissive.
Yeah. Okay. And do you mean like in relationship to someone else?
In relationship.
Yeah. So for me, definitely, I would say like aloofness and just kind of like pulled backness. It's not a word, but you know what I mean? Like being reserved and just not giving myself to someone, just being held back, I think would definitely be a few of my red flags. And I think that probably comes from being a little bit selfish, to be honest. Yeah. Probably. Yeah. I mean, we should all be a little bit selfish, but...
Beautiful. Honestly, I love hearing people on their red flags. It's good to hear because I'm like, same.
I love it.
So we mean aloof or pull back as in like you won't communicate exactly what's going on for you?
Yeah, totally. And I've gotten way better at that in my current relationship. He really brings it out. I mean, we talk a lot and it's quite beautiful. But I have been known to like, if I'm in a state about something, if I'm upset or in a mood about something, I will just shut down and treat that person like they don't exist. You know, it's not nice. I think that's actually probably even worse than being angry.
Yeah.
So that, but you know, that doesn't happen often. Yeah. I'm just saying maybe in a more sort of general sense, like I can be just quite internal and pretty introverted and don't give myself fully until I'm ready. Yeah.
Beautiful. Yep. Okay. And what are your green flags?
I think I really can offer, and I also love in someone else, a sense of stability and safety. And I'm quite traditional like that. I want all encompassing love as like the best thing ever. And I'm sure you can have that, but be open or whatever. But to me, yeah, I'm just quite like, I like monogamy. So like stability and safety within myself and with someone else means a lot. But like in partnership, to that would be wanting the same things as someone else and being able to be free and have fun with them, and for them to bring that out in me too is really important. And yeah, just to want to grow and to push each other, I think is really key.
I think those are really solid points. First of all, you bring this sense of real safety and stability to the relationship because you are innately a monogamous creature. So the people that you're with can feel safe in that container because they're like, oh, she's in this.
Yeah.
She's in this with me. And then also the sense of like, you're bringing this drive and you're bringing this expansion to the relationship. And then the person that is on the other side of that gets to receive that and also want to be better within themselves and be more driven within their work and whatever they're doing in their creative pursuits. And yeah, I reckon that's a hardcore epic green flag, all of them.
Hardcore.
Yeah. Okay. So I've got one final question for you. If you could give your younger self, think like 10, 11-year-old Jordan, one piece of advice in the realms of sex and love and relating, what would it be?
It's funny. I was looking back at old interviews and someone had asked me a question about that, obviously not in relation to love, sex and relationships, but just in terms of business. And I had said, really, if I could have like a superpower, essentially, I would want to look into the future. Sorry, they didn't ask me that, but the looking into the future thing relates back to wanting to teach yourself something or know something about what's going on. And I totally don't think that anymore. Like today, I wouldn't want to know anything about my future self. I don't think I'd give myself any advice. I think I would just like let it just roll out the way it was supposed to, because the way that things have unfolded in my life could only possibly happen because it was meant to. I swear to God, like it's too random otherwise. And so I quite like the idea of not giving myself any advice. I don't know if that's a popular answer or not, but
that is the best. I love that. Let it roll and out like, as no, it should.
I don't know. Yeah, sorry. That was the end of my point.
I love that so much. I think that's beautiful and like what's meant to be will be.
Yeah, it's funny, like living in LA, you adopt a lot of things. I've been here for 3.5 years and I've adopted like a few American-ish things because you just kind of have to survive. You have to learn to be a bit more outspoken and a bit more, you know, talk yourself up because they all do. And you have to like really learn how to take compliments and also give them. But I've also become a little bit hippy-dippy because you're surrounded by it. And I kind of love exploring it now. Like I do therapy and I have been to a healer and it's very new to me because I'm quite cynical. I wouldn't have called myself a spiritual person until recently, but I'm starting to be a bit more that way. And my partner is really spiritual and it's really nice to bring that into your life, I think. Yeah.
Beautiful. Wow. I love that. It's so interesting, that point around, I mean, I've not been to LA. I've only been to New York in the US, but the sense around moving somewhere else where people are really outspoken and celebrated for talking themselves up and giving compliments to those around them and then receiving those compliments, and how actually as New Zealanders that is so taboo or foreign to us. And when you do that, people are like,
right,
she's up herself, or like, who does she
think? I know. And here, if you turn yourself down here, if you're self-deprecating here, people get really afraid by it. They're like, what's wrong with you? I've had a couple of even investor calls where I haven't talked up the business enough, and then you feel so dumb after, because you're like, why did I just act like a New Zealander towards an American? I'm not going to get what I want from that. But also some of them find it really endearing, so whatever, just be yourself always.
And I love that through being there that you've become more curious around the realms of spirituality and that these new mindsets are being adopted. And it sounds like a beautiful life that you've got going on there, ever evolving.
I hope that the listeners, and I hope that you found it was enough along those lines, being as reserved as I am. I tried to just do what was comfortable for me and to not have regrets later or anything. I hope that was interesting and just super honored to have done this with you.
Yeah, and I just want to also say I fucking celebrate you for showing up and sharing all of that. I thought it was really interesting and vulnerable, and so many people are going to take so much from what you've shared. And I also think there is a piece there as well, like there's such a place for self-preservation and keeping things private, and I want to celebrate that. Not everything has to be laid out there rawly, vulnerably. As you say, just be yourself and share what feels comfortable to share. And I don't want anyone to come on here and feel like they've had like a giant vulnerability hangover and they've shared too much and they're regret it. Share what feels comfortable for you. We live in such an age where everyone's oversharing every little detail of every little thing, and it's like actually really beautiful to honor that.
It is interesting that, you know, going right back to the beginning of our talk, you can appear to be overtly sexual and not be internally, and that's okay. I don't really know how that works, but it just, for me, it does. So yeah,
and I would say yes, amen to that. And I would also say that is so common as well amongst so many women that are actually quite out there and like quote unquote sex symbols, but actually regular.
Vanilla. No, but yeah, as long as it doesn't feel forced. And it does, for me, it really doesn't. Like I do love expressing that side of myself in whatever way I do. So yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, you've made me think a lot about all that stuff and I really appreciate it.
Amazing. I'm so grateful.
Thank you, my love.
Thanks for dining with Finger Food, empowered by Peaches and Cream. If you liked this conversation, you can tip your maitre d' by subscribing, following, downloading, leaving a review, and sharing this podcast with your friends. If you want to work with me one-on-one or listen to more of my podcasts, go to stacyogorman.com or follow us on Instagram at finger.food.podcast. Stay safe, stay sexy. See you soon.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out at the French Open for a chance to win a Grand Slam title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. See the action unfold as legends fight for glory and new rivalries emerge. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th, with match replays on demand so you never miss a moment. From the first serve to the final point, Roland Garros promises unforgettable moments and new chapters in tennis history. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.